First and foremost, Allah Rabbul Izzat, Allah Most High, Allah's blessings, Allah's mercies, Allah's grace, Allah's favors. We are grateful for all of this, that Allah Ta'ala has given us health and afiyah, and He has given us the ibadah, the worship on the night of Jummah. And further, the amount of time Allah wills, that is the amount of time Allah will keep us in His home, and Allah will give us the ability to perform His dhikr, to remember Him. For the sake of revision, reminders, the maqsad, the objective of this dhikr, I would like to share with you again. My brothers, this is Allah's fadl, azeem, great mercy that Allah has gathered us, collected us together. And in this action, in this gathering, we sit and we hear and have a discussion. And the maqsad, the objective of having this discussion beforehand, is so that inside us, within us, due to the worldly factors and shaitan, and due to our base desires, the weakness that has arisen in our deen, in our practice, so that we can eliminate those weaknesses. And because we consider ourselves as pious and good people, and to get rid of this deception and to seek our defects and to do islah, rectification of our defects, and in this journey to be grateful for the fact that Allah has given us this message, this opportunity, and due to those diseases and illnesses that we have or that we had within us, Allah Ta'ala, with His karam and mercy, Allah has, with His great, great mercy, saved us from big adab, punishments, and given us the good news about paradise. And we should therefore not repeat those mistakes. And if Allah Ta'ala gives the tawfiq to sit in this majlis, in this gathering, then we should leave and shun those sins and come to this majlis. And Allah Ta'ala's door of pleasure then opens. Allah appreciates such people who are aware of their defects and their sins and their mistakes, and after that, after being aware and accepting, they reject those sins. Allah dislikes those people, Allah shuns those people, and Allah Ta'ala gives those people severe punishments, and Allah Ta'ala gives the displeasure to those people, and Allah Ta'ala takes and grabs away the barakat from those people. Which people? Those people who, despite the fact that Allah has given them ni'mas, rewards, they don't improve themselves, they don't change themselves, they stay arrogant and stubborn on their sins and defects. May Allah Ta'ala save us from this adab, this punishment. Today's discussion is very important, very important. Now this point has come to my mind, which I am sharing with you, very important, essential for us. I will try, due to the blessings of your gathering, that I can share this point correctly with you, so that we, and especially myself, I speak to myself really, is that so that I can do amal and practice on this point that we're going to discuss. Now the point is this, the discussion point is this, that whatever we do in our lives, the lives that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, and the time that Allah Ta'ala has given to us daily, everything we do in our life, and if it's in the form of ibadah, worship, there's for one reason that we do that action. Take all the actions under the sun, wherever the work of the deen is happening in the world, the propagation of the deen, spreading of the deen, highlighting of the deen, with it, whichever method, whichever tariqah, technique, darul ulooms, madrasa, tabligh, khanqahs are running, dhikr gatherings, everything, all of these actions and efforts. What is the focal center point of this? It's one. And I'd like to discuss that point today. Yeah? So we understand this. So that we, if we get left or right or astray off track, then we should understand, where are we going? We need to come back on track. There's one reason why we are doing all of these deeny actions. One reason only. What is that? And some people understand this and are aware of this, and those people are good people, have achieved, but those who don't have this understanding or don't keep this at the forefront of their minds, then they've gone far from their objective. We have one objective that we need to attain. Everything we do, there's one reason we do the actions related to Islam. And despite the fact that we do Islamic actions, we practice and we don't get that objective, then we have thrown water over all of our efforts. And if somebody dislikes what I'm saying, fine, but that's the reason. Khanqah's wasting time, everything else, everyone's wasting time, Darul Ulum's knowledge, ilm, places of knowledge, everyone will fail. I'm not saying this, Quran and Hadith, it's proven from them. I'm speaking in the light of Quran and Hadith. What is that factor? What is the most important objective, the focal point of our efforts? My brother, this is very important. I know this, you know this, young children, boys, girls, everyone knows this. And what is that? That after Iman, the biggest thing is Allah's Salah. Salah, say Subhanallah. No one said Subhanallah. Why not? Why not? This is such a common thing, isn't it? We don't understand. We say, huh? Namaz? What's namaz? This is not the reason. The real focal point of our lives is Salah. Salah after Iman. If there's anything in the eyes of Allah most precious, all the faraid above everything in the world, universe, fasting, hajj, ibadat, worship, nafil, voluntary, this and that. Everything is dependent on what action of ours? Salah. Say it loudly, Salah. Look at this point. Salah. I'll be summarizing this. It's a very lengthy topic, so I'll be concise to the point. Because mashallah, much of the work of the deen is happening in the world. But I'll just hint to you, the first we look in the world, do you understand now that salah is the most important factor in our lives? After iman, how important is salah? How important? Listen to the first hadith. Salah is so important that if salah is not in our lives, then that person has no deen. He has no deen. End of story. This is hadith. Hadith. Whoever in their life has no deen, in that person's life, there's no deen. Then what's left is a drama. Empty box. If Allah said, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, drama. And people can't say he's a muttaqi, he's pious, he's good, he's lofty status. First and foremost is salah. If you've got salah in your life, then you have deen. And the praise of deen, definition of deen, we all say we are deeni. Yes, we all know deen, 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 Islam. Everyone's saying I'm deeni, but zero if there's no salah. If you've got salah in your life, then you are deeni. Brothers, listen, those who don't pray salah, who are lazy, sisters, brothers, home, families, people say, oh, I don't know what's the problem in my family. We got problems. We do khatams. We read Surah Yasin khatam. We blow on ourselves, on our houses. Read Quran. I don't know why there's no barakat in my blessing, in my business, in my life. Salah? Is there salah? Do we pray salah? This is the biggest part of the deen. If there's salah, then there's deen. No salah, no deen. Second hadith of today. Second hadith. Such an action, great action is salah. How dangerous it is for not to observe this practice, this action. That salah. If a person doesn't pray salah, it takes a person close, very close to kufr. Very close. So iman's gone, isn't it? Iman's disappeared. What does not praying salah take a person to? To kufr. And the pious elders have stated that it also is likely that he departs this world in the state of kufr if he has not done tawbah and not started to pray salah. So he's close to kufr. What does it mean to be close? That all life long, if he hasn't prayed salah in his home, in his family, in his household, in his life, then his whole life, his actions, they are actions of kufr. Everything will be contaminated. Kufr, disbelief. Actions of disbelief. In that home where there's no salah, he is on the border, the banks of kufr. Not this, though he's praying salah, and if one person prays salah, then he's praying for everyone. Oh, I pray, my putter, oh, he doesn't have to pray, he's lazy, he doesn't get up, do dua for him, I pray salah, I compensate for everybody else. No. This is not the case. It's like a person who doesn't pray, he's not praying, he lives in the house on the banks of kufr, contaminating the household. So he is very close to kufr, and it's very likely that he will pass away in the state of kufr, and kufr will be mixed with his life. He's very close. It's so mixed with his life that when bad things happen, he forgets. She forgets that there's a bad thing coming to me, or ill effects are coming to me. This is Allah's adab, Allah's punishment, or this severe adab. That when a person starts to sin, then he starts to accept that sin. That, oh, it's okay, it's acceptable. This is not acceptable. But he accepts it unknowingly, unconsciously, just like the earth absorbs water. So the soul of a person, human being, absorbs the sins of the human being. He doesn't care. Takes it very lightly. Oh, what can I do? Oh, I'm forced to do it. Oh, I can't help it. Oh, I feel like doing it. And shirk and kufr actions come into that person's life. So these two hadith are enough, aren't they? And after that, you will have heard many hadith in your lives. So if we don't understand, these two hadith are enough for us to understand. First is the importance of salah. This is what we need to understand. This is the first factor of our discussion. Okay. Then we come on to the implementation of salah. Implementation of salah. How to observe salah. So now we understand salah, how important it is. We had these two hadith we just discussed. So then if it's such the greatest action of life, there must be a way of praying, isn't it? Observing it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, with regards to observing salah, with this ibadah, Allah Ta'ala said, "Aqimu salah," establish salah, observe salah. We all know how to observe salah. The tashri, the commentary of observing salah, is that pray your salah correctly, properly. Pray your salah correctly, properly. Don't just pray, establish your salah correctly, properly. Not just praying. Why? There's an importance attached to this, that pray your salah correctly, wholly, completely, with concentration. So we need to understand this point. What does this mean? To realize what this means, Allah Ta'ala has attached this to the importance of praying salah. Now salah should be done, praying salah, they're praying, he's praying, she's praying, we're praying, we're all praying. So we're praying. We're praying. We are doing the postures, the movements. But are we just praying and bopping our bodies up and down? No. Pray, establish salah correctly, completely, purely. What's the difference between praying purely, correctly, completely, and just praying? The Quran has said that there's a quality of salah. The person whose salah is correct, how will his salah be? That the glory of salah is such that salah will prevent that person from immodesty and sins. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. That we should be saying, no one saying Subhanallah loudly today. Are you asleep, drowsy? You don't enjoy what I'm saying? Subhanallah should be loud. Very important topic, my friends, that we don't understand. We are all included in this today. We're all affected by this deficiency. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand the difference? Okay, so me and you, let's analyze. I pray Salah 5 times a day. He's in the masjid all day. He's a great namazi. He's coming, he's going, he's a namazi. So Allah Ta'ala has defined, is his salah correct, complete, pure, or is he just bopping up and down? Say Subhanallah. Is he just moving his body up and down? That's the point to understand. So isn't now the delicacy in this masala. The salah, first we've understood the importance of it. Now when we pray, does it eliminate sin and going towards immodesty? So now we realize the importance of salah and praying correctly. So let's look into our lives. Are we praying salah in that way? Are we on the right side of the line or the left side of the line? Are we praying? Are we within the circle of the deen? And then I have to see, analyze, my salah correct? Is it proper? Have I stopped doing immodest actions? Have I left the sins due to my salah? And the definition of immodesty and sin is very clear. Everybody knows. Immodesty is, well, everyone knows what's immodesty. The person of Iman, when something dirty is happening around him, he feels ashamed. His hair stand on him. When he sees something dirty, impure, he knows I'm about to do something dirty. I don't need dalil. I don't need proof. Allahu Akbar. When he speaks nonsense, to be arrogant, where is it written? I need the proof. I'm not wrong. I was forced to do this. I fell into the trap. He does wrong, but his heart attests you're speaking nonsense. You are doing sin. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. He's got Iman. His heart will testify. His heart is testify because Iman is light, sin is darkness. Those both cannot mix. When he tries to mix the darkness of sin, somehow let me bring the darkness of sin into my life. He's got Iman. He says, La ilaha illallah. He believes in Rasulullah SAW. He's an ummati. He loves Rasulullah SAW. He has ishq. He loves. And he has the light of deen. So if there's light, then the darkness of sin that he's trying to force into his heart, that Allah Ta'ala doesn't like, is darkness. What darkness is? It's the darkness of Jahannam, hellfire. Sin represents what? The ditch, the depths of the fire of Jahannam. And is Jahannam enlightenment? No, it's darkness. It's intense darkness. So when he does sin, then the quality of the sin, the darkness of the sin comes into that person. So then will it not clash with the light of Islam? Then do sin. Oh, it's a small sin. There's no such thing as a small fire of Jahannam. So if the fire of Jahannam is not small, then how can the darkness of a sin be small? So if the darkness is not small, then how will be the embers of that fire? But Allah shan, at that time, that embers of that fire, Allah Ta'ala says, I've hidden those embers, the fire from you. If it was to touch your skin, you would vanish completely. But one sin takes us to that position that the whole of the makhluk is doing tawbah, Allah, Allah, this is Jahannam. He's taking Jahannam in his hands. The angels run away. The good company runs away when he sins. Then nobody comes near to that person. Only those people who are the people of Jahannam, who are made out of fire, the jinnat, the shaitan constructed a fire. Oh, it's morning. We run to the amil, the magician. The jinns come over me and overcome me. I'm possessed. Only those people go to the sorcerers, the exorcists, who inside them they have Jahannam, they've got haram, consuming haram, they've got attraction for haram. Sins attract them, pull on them. Never will a person of nur go to a wrong place, a place of fire. A place with iman and nur. What did I say in the beginning? What is this majlis of? Say loudly, islah, rectification. Yes, so you have to hear these words, my brothers. We have to hear these difficult words and realize where do we stand. So when you hear, write it on your heart. I'm going to leave this sin. Allah will be happy with you. Don't be stubborn. Don't be arrogant. Do you understand what I'm saying today? Okay, so brothers, where there's sin, there's darkness. Then you're not praying salah properly, because the quality of salah is what? Allah says, when you pray salah, the effect is you shun sin, you dislike sin, you have distaste for sin. So you're not praying salah correctly, purely, wholly, you're not establishing. You're doing amal, you're bopping up and down and praying, but you're not establishing your salah. So what's the reason we're not establishing salah? So we have to completely pray salah correctly. And how do we do that? Come to the next point now. Why? Because on the day of judgment, when Allah will establish the day of judgment, and when man will go to his Lord Allah, where will we be standing in front of Allah? What will Allah see first? The first question that will be accounted on the day of judgment is what? Salah. Namaz, we know this, don't we? And that salah is that the back of our queue. We read a lot of Quran, Hajj, Dhikr, Salah. Oh, Salah, just a little bit weak. I'll pray at home. I'll show you many people like this. Yeah, they'll show you their heels are worn out doing tawaf around the Kaaba. When they come back from Umrah, no salah. The same day, oh, I'm tired. I've just come back from Umrah. Oh, I've just done Hajj. I've gone for days from Hajj. I was doing tawaf up and down. And they're immersed in that. But he doesn't come to salah, Fajr salah. That's the biggest test. There's such a great deed, Hajj, Umrah, coming back, and kufr is coming to him, and not practicing deen. He went to the Kaaba, came back. But because he has no deen in his body, he has no deen in his life, then the rest of his life is a waste. How will deen represent him? He doesn't pray salah. But yes, the person who does correct Hajj Umrah, when he comes out, what does he have? He's decorated with the practice of the deen. He's decorated. The first action he demonstrates, he comes back, he will run to salah at any time of the day or night. My salah is correct. My salah is going to be correct. These are the signs of the mu'min. So when a person, and we will be presented on the day of judgment in the court in front of Allah, the first question, salah. The first deed Allah will account, salah. How many amal do you do? You can count them. Amal, words, bayanat, speeches, lectures, bayans. But Allah says, the first thing I'll ask you is salah. But no one hears. No, I pray salah the way I can. What will happen? Now listen carefully. In the court of Allah, salah will be presented. Whoever salah comes out correct, all his deeds will be correct. Subhanallah. And whoever salah is not correct, didn't pray correctly, properly, at the right time, at the right place, doesn't matter what he brings. He can bring the biggest deeds, tahajjud in the night, feet swollen, whatever deeds, Allah will say, I don't know nothing. I wanted the 5 times salah that I want you accounted for first. First. End of story, isn't it? Now, so what is this message coming to us? That one Muslim, for him, after Iman, all his life he has to work hard on what action? Say loudly, salah, salah, namaz. Namaz, khanqa, zikr, adhkar, sufi, all of this is for one purpose, that my salah should be perfect and correct. That's why I'm doing all of this. That's the reason I'm doing all of this. That's the reason I'm doing all of this. Implementation of our salah should be 100%. 100%. Not just praying salah, and making people praise Allah. No, no, no. What difference does it make? That person's praying and he still sins, he still sins. After he says, okay, I'm still praying. No, this is not our deen. Is this a deen? Way of life? Oh, it's okay, I'm sinning today. He can never sin, a person who prays Salah. Never. Today, shall I tell you the tariqah? Shall we go to the next stage now? To the next stage, the next phase? So we understand? Come, let's go to the next phase. So now let's go to the next step. To succeed in our Salah. Allahu Akbar, Allah is greatest. So now all of our life success is based on implementation of Salah. But not just praying Salah, completion of Salah. Establishing and completing 100% the conditions of Salah. How do we do that? Let's ask ourselves that question now. Important question, isn't it? Everyone sat here. Tell me somebody, please, the how do I 100% complete my Salah? Okay, which Salah are we talking about here? How, which Salah? The Salah will tell us itself now. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, subhanallah, Surah Baqarah, Allah ta'ala praises Salah, Allah ta'ala said, that the good people, first Allah has praised the good people, that my pious servants, the good servants, my beloved servants, their first criteria is that their Salah is very good. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So where's the Ghaus and the Qutb? That Allah Ta'ala said, they are my beloved Sahaba Ikram, noble companions. Allah says, my beloved, my pious servants, their Salah is very good and correct and complete. Aqeemus Salah, Allah says. And what's this a sign of? So the walis of Allah, the beloved of Allah, who wants to become, anyone who wants to become a wali Allah, he cannot become a wali from any action except Salah. Salah. That's it. So what is the completion of Salah? What is the factor that we need to succeed in Salah? What does Salah request from us? How should be my Salah and your Salah? How should it be? Okay, let's have a look at this question. So Salah, how should my namaz be? How should I feel when I'm praying? How do I know it's successful? The actions of Salah will tell us. So I've come to pray Salah, Aqeemus Salah, I need to establish my Salah. What do we do first? When we start praying Salah, what should there be? That person, we don't even think about it. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. What a great statement and what a style. What a method. After doing wudu, a person comes into the masjid, he stands, all the dunya, he leaves, and he says, Allahu Akbar. So when he says, Allahu Akbar, how should he feel? Then Salah is saying that when you said Allahu Akbar, then everything in the dunya, you've shunned it and put it behind you. Finished. At that time. That's how you should feel at that time, Allah says. Allah says, do you know my relationship with you at that time when you start Salah? We don't even know if I said Allahu Akbar or not. I forgot. Did I say Allahu Akbar? But when the servant of Allah, who says, Allah says, this is my beloved servant, his Salah is beautiful. What does he do? This man, he comes from business, he comes from clashes, disputes, from big sittings and meetings. But when he stands and says, Allahu Akbar, what's he saying? Allah, I finish everything, I'm in your court, I forget everything and I'm present in front of you, Allah. I am present, Allahu Akbar. What happens then? That's how we should feel at Salah time. Then he's lost in Salah. Allahu Akbar. No home, family, shops, family, relatives. He's transferred now from this world. Wallahi, I swear by Allah. This is the Salah of the Mu'min. Teek Salah. Correct Salah. I'm defining to you. He says, Allahu Akbar. He leaves the world. He shuns the world. He transfers from this world to Allah. Just like when you have an injection and you're put to sleep, the anesthetic, the beloveds of Allah, they have the injection anesthetic. And he raises his hands. He says, I put the world. Why does Allah make us raise the hands? What's the reason? Allah could say, just stand there, put hands to your side. Allahu Akbar. Why do we raise hands? When you raise the hands and you put your hands together, you say, run away, dunya. I'm begone with you. I have nothing to do with you. Get away from me. Far from me. What do we say? To the dunya, everything finished. Leave me, O world. You betray me all the time. I have no link with you. Allahu Akbar. You raise the hands, you shun the dunya behind you. And you fold the hands together and you start to remember Allah. Have you said it? So my brother, should this not be the feeling at the time of saying Allahu Akbar? When we say Allahu Akbar, is this happening when we say Allahu Akbar? If it's not, then our salah is not correct. If it is, then Maulana Sahab, what's happening to salah? Muqtadi should run away, read your salah again, because we need to pray salah correctly. And do we know how to pray? You know if your salah is correct. Maulana Sahab, what's he saying? What's he reciting? The Muqtadi is what's happening. But it's sad to say, I say this with extreme sadness, that what's our situation? I speak about myself. MashaAllah, you are pious brothers. I talk about myself. All of today's discussion is about myself. Don't think I'm speaking to you, or I'm criticizing someone. Wallahi, or I'm thinking about someone, or I'm focusing on someone, or I'm putting someone down. Allah, forgive me from such things. I haven't come for this reason, to criticize you or others, put people down. Everything that what I'm saying and thinking is for myself. I'm pointing to myself. I'm hinting to myself. So what's our hal today in our salah? That the hukum is that this is what should happen in salah. And say Allahu Akbar. And as soon as we come, we remember the dunya more at that time. That's the opportunity. Okay, let me think about namaz. In my namaz, I think about my business. How much money do I have to give to him? How much does he owe me? All our dunyawi factors, we remember at that time. Salah, look at the contrast. The contrast. What it should be and what our salah is. What it should be. Shall we go to the next step now? Let's go to the next step. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a beautiful point. He's given us a surah. Suratul Fatiha. We listen to this. And it's an ajeeb surah, and I can't define it, commentate on it, ulama ikram. And there are many nights we need to define and do the commentary of Surah Fatiha. If I start on Surah Fatiha, if I start with my heart, then I will not stop. Such long, long discussion, explanation. So what a great surah Allah has given us, Surah Fatiha, that the whole salah is represented by Surah Fatiha. Surah Fatiha. And that's why in every salah we have to recite Surah Fatiha. And without Surah Fatiha there's no salah. And the whole of the salah, it gives us a message that you should be like this. That this is salah, this is how you should be. So the first thing the salah tells us is that in salah you have to disappear from this dunya. Shop, business, wife, children, thoughts, dunya. Shouldn't be thinking about these things. Just like when a person's put to sleep, he's given anesthetic. Is he conscious? Does he remember his wife at that time? So you've been given the jab, the anesthetic, the injection of what? Allahu Akbar. Injection called Allahu Akbar injection. It's a big injection. We don't know how great Allahu Akbar, what a great kalima it is. What great, the Anbiya, the Prophets of Allah said Allahu Akbar. And the head of the Prophets, Imamul Anbiya, where did he say Allahu Akbar? And in such great statements and bayanats, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Takbir, recite the Takbir, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. Tell me, what a great kalima this must be. So this is not a small injection that is given at the beginning of salah. Don't think it's a minor. Let's go further. So this surah now tells us the message of salah. After that, what happens? We start reciting Surah Fatiha. Yes, after doing Allahu Akbar, shunning the dunya, transferring to Allah Ta'ala, we say Alhamdulillah. I'll go a little bit. I won't give tafsir of Surah Fatiha. You think I'm doing tafsir? No. I'm just giving you little bits and pieces, bits and pieces. Don't think I'm giving tafsir of the Quran, my brothers. I don't do tafsir. I'm just explaining and the light and the shade of this surah, that this surah, what is it guiding us towards? How should we feel? So Allahu Akbar, we've discussed. Then we say Alhamdulillah. Isn't it? Beginning of Surah Fatiha. Alhamdulillah. Whose name have we mentioned? First and foremost, Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. So you're unconscious. Allahu Akbar. First, you go on the journey of Ismail Zad, the name of Allah. Allahu Akbar, the introduction of Allah. Is there any greater name than this? Where do we start Salah? Allah makes you unconscious. Puts you to sleep, transfer from the dunya. Then Allah shows you the real world. Then in the universe, the greatest name is Allah. Allah, Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah. Then Allah says, the next journey you're going on to Allah, was the first word Allah Ta'ala teaches us? Alhamdulillah. Allah says, if you want to recognize the completion of salah, then first, my servant, you need to do dhikr of ismi that, dhikr of your Allah, of the name of your Lord, introduce yourself to your Lord. Alhamd with dhikr. Remembrance of Allah. Do you understand what is dhikr Allah? Subhanallah. Without dhikr, there is no way a person can even get to the first step of salah success. Ismi that, Allah's name, recognize Allah, immerse yourself in the name of Allah. How? With dhikr, with the praise of Allah's name. Praise your Lord. Standing, sitting, walking, talking. Be immersed in the name of Allah. Ismi that. Then you'll understand the feelings of salah, emotions of salah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then what do we say? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Rabbil Alameen. Allah says, when these words emanate from your mouth, Rabbil Alameen, then your feeling at that time should be what? Subhanallah. That at that time when you say Rabbil Alameen, you should be drowned in that emotion. That Rabb, now Allah's Safat, Allah's qualities, from Allah's that, from Allah Himself, we are going to His qualities, His attributes. So we never go from attributes to that, we're going from that, Allah Himself, to His attributes. The first sift, the first attribute Allah introduces, Rabb. Allah is the Rabb. What does meaning of Rabb mean? Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. He is our Rabb. He is our cherisher. He is the one who's reared us and brought us up, made us grow up. So who makes us grow up? Who rears us? Who gives us provisions? He who makes us born, who makes us come to life. So Allah says, I am your Rabb. I created you. You were born due to my permission. And I make you grow up. And who? You, Alameen. Not just you. Rabbil Alameen, Allah says. Not just you, one human being. Allah says, Rabbil Alameen. I am Rabb of the universe. Not just the Rabb of one human being. Not the Rabb of this pigeon. One bird. Allah says, if you can count the universe, can you? You can't even count my galaxies and worlds. Allah says, I am Rabbil Alameen. Rub of the universe. A man's lost now, isn't it? Injection come into our body. We say Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Where does a person then reach? Where should we be standing? Subhanallah. The Allah Ta'ala has created this universe, this world, all the animals, creatures and forms of creation. Allah rears, Allah gives them rizq. Allah is their sponsor, Allah is their kafil. Allah looks after them, Allah gives them health. Allah is responsible for every single particle in the universe. Allah says, it's mine. And when you press salah, when you pray salah, says, when you get to this understanding, then what should happen is that you should then get to the height of tawakkal, that whatever happens in my life now, Allah will permit and it will occur in my life. Without Allah's permission, impossible. The tawakkal for the mu'min comes to that height in salah, that the sift, the attribute of salah that becomes at that time. Look, understand my point. In life, the thing that takes us furthest from our Rabb is what? Our stomach. Our stomach. This small stomach takes us, all of the clash is rizq, haram, it makes us eat haram. Everything we do wrong, it detaches us from the dunya, makes us leave our parents, makes us leave our country, makes us finish our deen. This stomach is such a thing. The stomach never fails. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us this. Yes, the whole clash is to do with the stomach. And if this stomach is not controlled, if its desires are not controlled, the human being can never meet Allah. So the first feeling here is this what? The first and foremost in salah, we should feel that we have recognized our Rabb, our Lord. In our heart, the fear of the world should disappear. Oh, rizq, I'm scared of rizq and money. And you should never, for the sake of rizq or money, disobey Allah. You should never, for the sake of money, break a law of Allah. You should never go towards haram. You should accept, I'll be hungry, I'll have no money, whatever. Allah is my Rabb, He will rear me. He will bring me up. He will give me food and drink and water. Whenever we feel this and accept this, will we consume haram? Tell me. What a big difference between the human being and the mu'min. So Allah says, this is the first feeling you should have. That when you say Rabbil Alameen, and you say Allah gives to the Alameen, you accept that when you recite this, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, then why don't you correct yourself? And the next thing, what a great topic. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Subhanallah. These are both attributes of Allah. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Rahman and Rahim are great, great names of Allah. Allah is Rahman and Allah is Rahim at the same time. So what do we learn from this? What emotion should we feel at that time when we reach it? When we say Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, then in salah, what should we feel? What emotion should envelop us? That one insan, where for example, it's not that he stands and thinks. No, as soon as he recites this inside him, the feeling, it arises, subhanallah. The feeling arises, subhanallah. Shall I give you the example? So Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. What is this quality? Attribute of Allah. So Allah says that you are declaring that Allah is your Rabb. You are awake. And Allah is saying to the people of Iman, and I am the Rabb of the whole of the alam, the universe. And my sift is Ar-Rahman. That I don't just give to you, Allah says Ar-Rahman. I am Rahim as well. Yes, for the mu'mins. But Allah says, my universe, there, whether anybody believes in me or not, asks me or not, is aware of me or not. It's my responsibility. I'll give to him rizq as well. It's not just to you, O mu'mineen. So Allah says, if I can give rizq to all of creation, then O madman, I am close to the people who believe. Will I not give you rizq? Even then you eat haram? Even then you break the laws of Allah for the sake of your stomach? You leave salah? You sell yourself, your deen, your nafs, your desires, you sell for takas? You sell your life for takas? Such a salah. Can we present it in the court of Allah? Salah wants us to assign ourselves 100% to Allah. We say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Allah says that you are saying, I'm Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. If I feed the whole universe, Ar-Rahman, that's my quality. And I give to those who don't have iman. And yes, fair enough, they earn, they work hard, they believe it's due to their working hard that they are getting their money and their food. But it's their Rabb who gives to them. Allah says, so why do you get scared and why are you afraid, O mu'min? If I give to them and I don't give you, then it's because I love you more and I want you to get closer to me. That's why I don't give to you, O mu'mineen. Allah says, I want you to come nearer to me and ask me for more. Because you don't have anything. I've seen many people that when my son or my daughter cries, then I feel that more love towards it. And even I'm like that when a child, he pushes and cries and laments. And if you don't give, then you feel a bit of happiness that let him cry a little bit more. Let him embrace more and ask more. They say, okay, I'll give to you. Do a bit of sabr, sabr. And you do this purposely because you get enjoyment. It's not dhulam, no oppression. Allah says, ask me for more, ask me for more. I'll give to you. Soon. But if I don't give to you, then who will I give to you? Tell me. Allahu Akbar. And so this is the strong connection. Just like the mother, the father, how they make the child wait. Allah says, I'm making you wait. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. You understand what I'm saying? Then I'll stop here. We'll go next. What does Allah say next? Maliki Yawmiddin. Allahu Akbar. So Allah says, the whole dunya, when Allah will make the world come to an end. Salah is saying this now. Where is Salah taking us now? Malik, to our Malik. At what time? Allah says, when Qiyamah will be established. Now we start thinking this in Salah. The world is gone. When we get to Malik Yawmiddin, then the world is gone from us, in front of us. Then we're stood on at the Day of Judgment, in the court of Allah. We're present. Salah is telling us this, teaching us this, and we should feel this. Think this. So I'm standing in front of Allah. So what do I present to Allah on the Day of Judgment? Maliki Yawmiddin. This is the Day of Deen. That in this day, Allah, you are the Malik. You are the owner, the master. And I'm going to present my deeds to you today, Allah. My salah, my fast, my hajj, all my worship, my deeds, my good deeds. Allah, I'm going to present to you. Maliki Yawmiddin. Allah says, your salah is reminding you. Reminding you what? What are you remembering now this time? The fear of Allah. When you recite Maliki Yawmiddin, fear of Allah, the reverence of Allah, whose salah is correct, then this emotion of the fear of Allah overwhelms them. Okay, you'll see, in salah you have different emotions. Sometimes you're happy, sometimes you're crying, sometimes you're shaking, trembling. These are the feelings of salah. When you get to this maqam and say, Maliki Yawmiddin, then you're immersed in the fear of Allah. Where's my Rabb? Allah, I'm standing in front of you. What do I see? I have nothing. I'm empty. I'm devoid. And your fear, and the fear comes so much into the mu'min when he's praying salah. So much fear that he comes to the extreme and the highest feeling of fear. That how will I present myself to you, Allah? How will I come to you in the Day of Judgment? And the whole of Jalal of Allah overwhelms that person at the time. Do you understand? Maliki Yawmiddin. This is salah, brothers, that we pray. This is called tonga marna. Bopping up and down. Maliki Yawmiddin. We waste our time. So this Allah Ta'ala makes a person get to this level. Now let's go further. Maliki Yawmiddin. Then what do we say? After that, what do we say, Mawlana Sahib? Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. What do we say here now? We have presented our deeds, then Allah Ta'ala gives the response. All your deeds, Allah Ta'ala says, your deeds have come to me, but your deeds only will be accepted. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. If you practiced all the deeds in your life with ikhlas, sincerity, and if they were all for the sake of Allah, only then, Iyyaka na'budu. Allah, my deeds are for you. Allah will say, if you did ibadah for me, if you are pure from shirk, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Whoever asked and only asked from me. If he bowed, he only bowed to me. If he had tawakkal, trust, he only trusted in me. He whose deeds, or he, she whose deeds, everything. That my previous bayan was about this, it was a lengthy bayan. Whatever we do is for this maqam, for the sake of Allah. then is shirk in that person's life? No. Is this what I'm doing shirk? Am I doing this for the wrong reason? Am I doing this for the sake of Allah? Shirk is flying around inside him. What am I doing this for? Is it for Allah or for the dunya, the world, to please people? Allah says only those deeds will be accepted in my court if those deeds were not mixed with shirk. Only those deeds that were lillahiyat, for the sake of Allah. Salah was for you, Allah. Qurbani was for you, Allah. Quran was for you. Recitation was for you, Allah. Everything was for you, Allah. I had no greed for the world, no fame, no recognition, desire. I spoke about that in the bayan 2 days ago with detail. So here, listen to one thing carefully in detail. That what does salah, what does it remind us of? We say, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. What does it bring out to the forefront? That your yaqeen should be 100%. Your belief should be 100% in who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's when you can say you're praying salah, really. If your itaqad, belief and yaqeen, certainty is not in Allah, then you are mushrik, you're doing shirk. So where does this itaqad start from? I remind you of the previous bayan. To strengthen itaqad, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. To strengthen this belief and feeling, the first action we have to do is take the hand of a wali Allah. I gave the commentary of this in the previous bayan. It's essential, compulsory, the importance of bay'ah, that to strengthen the itiqad, the belief in Allah, why we are doing what we're doing, we take the hand of the wali Allah, we want to strengthen our iman, and strengthen that time. First and foremost, when you have belief in your sheikh, and you have yaqeen in your sheikh, if you don't have belief in yaqeen in your sheikh, you'll run from left to right, pillar, post, cure, hair, amil, magician, exorcist, sorcerer. These insan, when he doesn't have pakka yaqeen in his shaykh, then he won't believe in the Prophet ﷺ, and then he'll go for different paths. Sharia and sunnah will not be his path. He will run for haram, haram eating, haram wearing, haram his actions of his life from zahir, externally. The firstly, his i'tiqad will be weak, his belief, his trust, conviction Allah will be weak, and he will be full of shirk. Thousands of gods inside him. Within a second he'll sell his deen. Within a second he'll compromise his deen for the sake of dunya and temporary things. So the first itiqad, if we fail, the belief in the shaykh I explained in length. I'm just reminding you concisely today. So the mu'min, for example, the title of that bayan is that how do we know if our bayah is correct? We have to analyze ourselves. That if I have itiqad, belief in the shaykh, for which reason Allah Ta'ala said that to strengthen your belief, Allah sent you to his friend, his wali. Then what do we need to do when we're in his company? If we strengthen our belief, then we don't even have belief in our shaykh nowadays. We criticize and we say, oh shaykh, can you give me ta'weez and write something for me? You're going left one day to this shaykh, next day to that shaykh. Look at that shaykh. Then when he takes the hand of his teacher, he says, whatever I'm going to learn, Hazrat, is going to be via you and your company and guidance. I have no need to go to anyone else. I'm not afraid of anyone else. Such a great shaykh, inshallah, if you get in your life. What's the difference between the two? Those whose itiqads are correct, their yaqeen is good and strong, then Allah Ta'ala takes that person to such a place where they match with the practice of the shaykh and they start to get shifa and cure. I'll get the cure from him, I'll get this, and I'll get this guidance from the shaykh, etc. And they get the right things from the shaykh. Why? Because Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said that I am with you, and according to your feelings and emotions and your desires, I will give to you what you want. So most definitely, that person, he will be corrected from the, when he takes the right company of a good person. Allah says that, don't you see that even people, they ask from idols in the world, and the idol gives due to the permission of Allah. Remember an event, today's discussion will become quite long. As a Shaykh Saadi rahmatullah alayhi, great Shaykh in the history of Islam, I can't praise him enough. I cannot define and explain his life. The 73 years he wandered around in the world, and he was an ajeeb Shaykh, very unique Shaykh. And there are two kitabs, Gulistan, Bostan, that until today there's no explanation of those kitabs. I'll tell you a waqia, an event, because we're speaking about the walis of Allah. Allah's mercy comes down when we speak about the walis of Allah. As a Nizamuddin Awliya rahmatullah, everybody knows how great a Shaykh he was. Recent Shaykh, and Amir Khusru, he was an ashik, a lover of him, and he saw that Nizamuddin Awliya, he was Bostan, he was reading this kitab. When he saw this, my Shaykh, what kitab is he reading? He said, Hazrat, what kitab are you reading? He said, Bostan, author Hazrat Shaykh Saadi. And he couldn't understand that. He said, Hazrat, can I have permission? That can I write something in comparison to this? Hazrat said, yes. He smiled. He said, yes, you can write. So he wrote something else and put that kitab. Amir Khusro was a poet. And he, mashallah, wrote the verses himself. And He wrote to the Kitab, he said, you can write so many Bostans, but you cannot compare to this Bostan. He said, why not? He said, shall I tell you why? Because Allahu Akbar. He said, I saw in Kashf Hazrat Nizamuddin Allah, he said, that the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sat, the Sahaba Ikram was sat, and this Kitab, the same Kitab was being read and explained by the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So somebody requested, thou Prophet of Allah, what are you reading? What are you commentating on? He said, my Sadi's Kitab, Bostan, I'm reading this. So can you compare to this Kitab? He had this status, Hazrat Sheikh Sadi. So Hazrat Sheikh Sadi said, I wandered through a certain place on one day, and it was a place where there were idols being worshipped, and it was an elephant, a big idol. And he saw, he stopped there and he saw an action of the people of that vicinity. See how Allah Ta'ala strengthens the belief of people. People come ask the idol and they get it straight. Why were they asking? And how? That whenever a person was asking, then both hands of the idol would go up to the heavens, to the skies. And Sheikh Sadi saw this, said, huh, this is a miracle? Kamal. And they had proper 100% belief, the people, that when you're getting something, they're obviously going to have belief. If you go to someone says that this is water, blow on it, drink it, and you get cured, because Allah wants you to be correct, because you are going to become a mushrik. And that person deceived, the sheikh deceived, and the student deceived. He did a fraud. So Allah Ta'ala said, I give you karam, my mercy, I took you to my wali, the real wali, and he committed fraud. He decreased his yakin in the shaykh. He wasn't honest. So the big punishment is that he wants to become go towards kufr. So Allah Ta'ala says, I want you to succeed and become a good person. So Shaykh Saad, he said, that Allah gave him kashf. So when he saw an inspiration in what he saw, that the asal, the genuine article, is that behind him there were certain people, that when somebody would ask, the hands of that idol would rise up to the sky, not to the sky, but rise up, point to the heavens, and then come down. So he saw this Shaykh Sadi Sahib, and he said, oh, this person's iman is being lost. He's believing in the idol. He said, how can I see Tawheed being lost in such an easy way? So this itikad, the belief in the idol, it sticks to the heart of the person, and Allah gives to that person. Allah says, fine, you what you feel, go and do what you want. But iya can abd, what you can sustain. Here we will, our deeds will be weighed. That when that emotion is not there, the correct emotion, the lillahi, the oneness of Allah. Salah wants this decision from us, that when you read this verse, then you should be feeling the emotions of lillahi, the oneness of Allah. Allah is the one who gives and should be asked from. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. We're not praying salah correctly if we don't feel this. All deeds will be accepted when? When all the deeds are done for the sake of Allah. Itaqad, belief in Allah should be strong. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. What's next? Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. Allahu Akbar. So now the salah is telling us, you've come to this verse, so how should we feel when we get to this verse? Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. This verse is describing, explaining a great message. That you, when you get there, you have to do mujahida of the nafs and shaitan. Why? Because this verse teaches us mujahida, making effort, striving. We have to do mujahida, strive and work hard and make effort. How? That the path, what will take us off the path, what will try to take us off the path and go astray? Two strengths are in front of us, nafs and shaitan, the base desires and the devil. And if we strive against the nafs and shaitan, and we continue this, then alhamdulillah, then the emotion of ihdina sirat al-mustaqim will envelope us, that we are standing on the right path. What a great message. And how many people today are fighting the nafs? How many people are doing mujahida and striving and controlling the desire? No, I'm fine, I don't need this. No, whoever is attached to nafs and shaitan, all life long we have to fight against nafs and shaitan. Clash against nafs and shaitan. So this verse is inviting us, that this salah you come to pray and establish. Have you got a company of the sheikh? Have you sat with the wali of Allah? Have you learned from the wali of Allah? Otherwise, how will you do mujahida? Will you strive yourself? How can you do mujahida, strive against your nafs? People, they're trying, aren't they now? Aren't they? They're trying. Look, how many mistakes are coming out with the fadl of Allah. This is about bringing out the mistakes, taking out the defects. Rather, we should be grateful to Allah that we have now realized our defects, and we ask for forgiveness from our defects. And then alhamdulillah, we will be progressed and advanced and promoted. That's why Allah sent us here. That Allah Ta'ala hasn't sent us here just to tell us, and pound us. Allah has given us His karam. That I want you to feel today what your mistakes are, because you are beloved to me. Allah Ta'ala says, I want you to learn from your mistakes and become better. So don't make this mistake again. And if we say, Allah, I won't do this mistake again, I've made a mistake, Allah says, fine, your mistakes are forgiven, and I'll promote you at the same time. SubhanAllah. so on. But we shouldn't do the same sin again. We shouldn't do this. Ask Allah for forgiveness, then become stuck on that right path and break the idol. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Will not sin again. So here, we've understood salah. The salah asks, have you got a sheikh? That do you sit with a pious person? Do you do mujahidah? Do you make effort? Do you fill your tazkiyah sheets or not? Do you have a need for the tazkiyah sheets? No, I'm fine. I don't need to follow the sheet system. Inside he's got so many diseases. Fi qulubihim maradun. Allah says that you have marad, disease within you. That if you go to a person, if you don't present yourself to a pious person, for what reason? To extract your internal diseases. Then only the peer, the sheikh that's alive can do this, not the sheikh who's passed away in the grave. That's why you have to go to a sheikh who's alive, present right now, live. That help me, sheikh, to remove my sins. He will love you, assist you, give you the injection. Get up, do this, get up, do that. Do this now, do this now. When you get such a peer, a sheikh, then consider that he has taken you to the banks of Jannah, paradise. And a person, if you think the sheikh is asking from you money, wealth, assets, resources, he's pleasing you. A true sheikh will never desire to make you happy all the time. That such people, the sheikh who has his colleagues close to him, he will even bang the slippers on the head just to say that akhirah is close. Don't think that we are here for a joke. I don't need no praise or recognition. If you serve the wali Allah, you're doing it for Allah's sake. To please Allah, not for the Shaykh's sake. He doesn't need you to serve him or to help him, assist him. Allahu Akbar. The Shaykh, because the Allah Ta'ala says that you are doing this to please me, that you are serving my Mahbub. Allah says, then I will serve you in paradise. Subhanallah. So whatever is our duty to do khidmat of the Wali of Allah, and this is the name of that, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're remembering via the service of the Wali of Allah. So what we say Allah is that I have to do my operation, analyze my life inside me. I shouldn't hide from Allah. In our letters or in our sheets, by meeting, so but we have to present ourselves to our sheikh and cry in isolation, Allah, you give me a sheikh, please Allah, take my illnesses out, please Allah, take my illnesses out, please Allah, take my illnesses out, subhanAllah. So what is this? Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Do you understand? Ihdina siratal mustaqim. This is salah. Further next. Siratal ladina an'amta alayhim ghayril maghdubi alayhim wala dalin. Allahu Akbar, Allah is greatest. This is the summary of salah. Subhanallah. So Allah says, oh people, what path are you on? Are you doing mujahidah, working hard, making effort? There are three paths. And at the time of starting salah, when we say Allahu Akbar, the friend of Allah has three options. What are the three options? Allah, first is Allah's fadl, Allah's blessing. Second, subhanallah, which overwhelms. And then the third path is those three paths in this same verse. And in these three paths, you're at a juncture. When you pray salah, we have to decide which path are we about to enter into. Salah will tell you that after salah, what will you do after salah? After salah, what will be the style of your life? Methods after salah, what money will you count? After salah, what will you do for other people? And how will you ridicule people or disrespect people or dishonor people? Allah says, those people who have maghdoob, and those will go astray. And those are the people who have got Allah's fadl. So here this verse is forcing you, salah. That, O servant of Allah, if you've come to pray salah, then you should have only one path. Atiyu Allah wa atiyu Rasul. Subhanallah. This is obedience to Allah. Subhanallah. And when you get to this portion of salah, salah is telling you, how should you feel? You should feel that you're an ashik of the Prophet Muhammad SAW. You should be ashik-e-rasul, ashik-e-sunnah, and you should be immersed and give your all for ittaba'e sunnah and the laws of Allah. And this is the definition, the completion of salah. Otherwise, you have the other path. Don't you feel ashamed? Tell me for a while. That leave the fatwas and verdicts. Don't we have sharam and shame and haya? Salah tells us when a man comes, that he should be drowned in shame and regret. So how can a person imagine that those actions that Allah and His Rasul don't like, and He's represented that appearance in His salah, and He says, I've just prayed salah and come back from salah. Tell me, is this the haq of salah? Which salah are we talking about? What are we speaking about? What is forcing us not to do the right thing? Yes? Okay, Sharia says, you're wandering outside, do what you want, work, etc. But when you come to me, Allah says, to pray salah, look at the feeling of salah. That at what time, where should you be, what are you doing? That the whole majma is spoiled. That if in the final time, the person, on what path is he standing? Is he facing madhub dalin and deceiving himself? Or is he doing the right thing? Tell me. So I summarize this point here. And then we go to the final phase. The final step. So is our salah now being understood? Salah says, this is how your salah should be. Yes, the person bows, recites, submits himself, and then he bows a little bit. What is salah saying now? that now salah has affected you, O son of Adam. Now you've understood how to bow to Allah. You've bowed down, come down. You ever gone to sajda, yeah? You first come to the ruku position. You put your hands on your knees and you bow your head down and you look down towards the earth. You look at your feet. Allah says, now you are a little bit more mild and soft-hearted. You're a king, you're a minister, you're rich, you're wealthy, you're a wali, ya wali Allah, you're a kutub. And suddenly, doesn't matter all the emotions you have before that, by salah time, you shun all of these things and you learn how to bow to Allah subhanallah. But he says, no, still not enough. Still not enough. Yes, salah, subhana rabbil azeem, subhana rabbil azeem, Allah, you are azeem, my mawla. Why? Because I've come out of the previous condition and feeling. So here now, Surah Al-Fatiha, what is it showing to us? Surah Al-Fatiha. That what is it? That we're saying, Allah, you are azeem, you are the greatest. And that feeling I had before, that for example, it's not about just standing still and not doing nothing. Rather, Allah, I'm now bowing more to you, submitting myself more to you. And when a person submits and bows to Allah, that's when he's azeem. So do you understand what I'm saying? Clearly? Mulana sahab? And this is why we say, Subhana Rabbil Azeem. Allah, you are azeem, my Mawla, you are the greatest. Now I've bowed down to you. Now I've realized after standing and praying, reciting, this is how my salah should be. Allah said, not enough, not yet. So, subhanAllah, when the person bows down, then another emotion overcomes him. What? The emotion of ishq, love, and being immersed in something called subhanAllah. So what's the feeling that comes? Ishq and diwanagi, being lost, subhanAllah. And when a person, subhanAllah, then he can go and start praying salah on the earth. First and foremost, no person in consciousness will do a wrong deed in his life. For example, he starts to do wrong actions, or he makes something dirty around him purposely. No, the meaning of this hadith is, I'm not giving you the commentary of these, but maybe I've read this hadith somewhere. What? That sometimes salah, the prostration of salah, you should do it on the soil, on the bare soil, on the dust. Subhanallah. So that the forehead is touching the soil and the dust. So we realize, what are we and where are we from? So that time Allah says, my love, you should be totally drowned in my love. That then you come up, then you jump down, you fall down to prostration. Allah says, remove all the veils. Allahu Akbar. This servant of mine, remove the veil from in front of him. Why? Because he's now come to that maqam, that he has proven the servanthood today. That he's a servant. He's not a king now. He's not a wazir now. He's not a high person. He's not a kutab. He's not a ghawth. All his standing and levels have been eliminated. Now he realizes and he's aware that I have been created by Allah and I'm attached to the soil of the earth and I will come alive again on the day of judgment. Allah, take me out of the predicament and the difficulties. And he'll start realizing his haqiqat reality. He who's recognized his nasfs, he has recognized his Lord, Allahu Akbar. So now Allah says, he has recognized me. Those people who prostrate on the carpet and they have soft beds and mattresses. Allahu Akbar, ask about the prostration of Siddiq Akbar. And Hazrat Bilal, ask Imam al-Anbiya, the rain is falling and the water is dripping through the roof. It's Masjid Nabwi and there's mud and there's sajda. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his forehead is full of mud, the sticky mud. And he felt the emotion. And the other Sahaba, the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, felt the emotion. They said, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. What's the tasbih here? Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying a little bit? Do you feel enjoyment? Whoever enjoys, say Subhanallah, Subhanallah, everyone. Subhanallah. So today this Ajah Sample 7 has understood Salah today in this way. So do we want to take this Salah? Do we? Say yes. Isn't it? You don't want to take this wrong Salah with us. Etc. So do we want the correct salah? Shall I tell you the tariqah, the method to bring about the right salah in our lives? Okay, fine. Inshallah, then you will get the reward of the right salah and the effects of the right salah and the establishment of salah. How will we get it? Have you seen that after praying salah, the attributes are there clear to see? That salah ceases a person from wrong, takes a person away from immodesty. We haven't even finished praying salah, then thousands of bad things start to come out of our hearts. Has this not occurred? Don't we feel like this? Alhamdulillah. Yes, we haven't just established salah, prayed salah, but salah has taken us out of various ill effects. So if we pray salah, establish it properly, will there be modesty and haram? Impossible, because this person is obedient to Allah. Salah, it removes a person from immodesty. How can a person who's praying salah consume haram or do haram or walk around with parda? Without parda? How can this be? So let's see, how does this feeling come into people? Now here, I would like to share with you a statement of Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummat, rahmatullahi alayhi, so you don't feel that I'm speaking from my own opinions. He was the mujaddad of tasawwuf, Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummat. The pious predecessors have stated this, that the work of Islah, the work of the qalb, the heart, Hazrat did all of this work. That's why he's given the title mujaddad. Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummat is saying this himself, rahmatullahi alayhi. Ajib, unique point that he stated. So this now proves, the words, all the words that I've mentioned today, discussion. That our salah, if we come towards the feelings and the emotions that we've shared, the first statement, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Alhamdulillah. So where did the journey start from? From the name of Allah, from dhikr. Salah, yes, so first what we need to do, be busy in Ismul Adam, Isme that, to get the reality of salah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is very clear now that to practice the path of tasawwuf, we cannot be successful unless our salah is successful. Understand this correctly now. The question doesn't arise, that person, his salah is correct, one day, etc. It cannot be, Allah says, that the salah has decided itself, that if you do not grab hold of ismeda, the name of Allah, the dhikr of Allah, then you cannot be corrected. So what dhikr is it that will give us the attainment of the correct salah? My brothers, the whole of salah, the whole of the feeling of salah that I've shared with you, when we say Allahu Akbar, the whole salah after saying Allahu Akbar, it is the form, the image of the tasawwuf in reality, which is our path and order, which is our action of tazkiyah. I'm telling you the importance of this deed. I'm not speaking about dhikr. I'm speaking about the dhikr of isme that. What dhikr? Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. No, these are kalimat. Which dhikr am I talking about? Isme that. Maraqba isme that. The silent dhikr, remembering Allah. Isme that. To connect your heart to Allah and do maraqba. What? That you hold Allah Ta'ala as the greatest, Allah's Jamal, Jalal, Kamal, His Qurbat, His fear, His awe, His glory, His love. Everything we have to seal into our hearts. That's why when we do a maraqabah, 5 hours, the walis of Allah, they do the dhikr of isme that for this purpose. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what do we call this? Maraqabah isme that. This is what we call the dhikr of Allah. Allah, Allah. All of our salah is maraqabah. Maraqabah. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. All of our salah is maraqabah. When a person says Allahu Akbar, and then we have become maraqib. We have started to do maraqabah. Subhanallah. We have started to remember Allah. We have disappeared into the remembrance of Allah. When a person sits and does maraqabah and remembers Allah in the heart, he disappears from the issues. I say that when I say do maraqabah isme that, what is that? That you have said Allahu Akbar. You close your eyes and you are immersed in dhikr. Everyone according to his capacity and his strengths, according to his feelings. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has given you effort and you've got a link with Allah, according to that person then is lost. And he leaves the dunya for a while and then he goes into the life of experiences, subhanAllah. And he starts to speak to Allah in this maraqabah. And the feelings and the emotions come. The correct feelings and emotions. Maqam, he starts to become light and he floats. And this is ismi that. And in subhanAllah, when a person does salah, he's doing maraqabah. When he goes into sujood, he gets to the peak of dhikr of Allah and subhanAllah, and dhikr of the heart. So the whole salah that we've prayed is maraqabah, the remembrance of Allah in the heart. Listen to what I'm saying. It's a deep point that I'm saying. That's why those who are maraqib, who do dhikr of Allah, those who do ismi that dhikr, alhamda dhikr that you do, then this is correcting your salah. That's what you're doing. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. The person who's doing maraqabah of ismi that, the name of Allah, and he stops praying salah and comes to salah to Allah, then he is going to maraqabah when he starts salah. When he's doing maraqabah, he's in the state of maraqabah continuously. And when he goes unconscious, he's saying Allah, Allah. In the same way, in his namaz, in his salah, that person is immersed and lost in the love of Allah. That see, the arrows coming out in the same way that the feet and the legs were operated on. The sahaba kiram said, do this when I'm in maraqabah, praying 2 nafil salah, subhanAllah. So maraqabah, small definition is this, that insan leaves everything and he stands in front of Allah and says, Allah, I'm here, I'm present. How does he stand? Subhanallah, that kafir, that feeling, that either I am seeing you, or at least you feel that you are seeing me, Allah. You feel that you are seeing me. If you can't feel that, then you should feel at least that Allah is watching you. This is the feeling of salah. So hey, Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummat, I would like to present to you one of his sayings. You'll enjoy this if you are people of tasawwuf. Hazrat stated, rahimahullah, that when you pray salah, then in reality, you are straight away doing maraqabah niyyah, and you're doing maraqabah. All of this is maraqabah if you make the right niyyah. Subhanallah. My brothers, the tariqah, the paths of the Sufi, this is not bidah, this is not shirk, this is not innovation. So whichever insan, if he does maraqba ismay that, maraqba, say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The more a person, Allah has taken us towards maraqba ismay that, Allah's names and lataif, the more effort we make, the more harder we work, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, alhamdulillah, that the more you are immersed in the name of Allah, the more your salah will improve and be elevated and accepted, subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. And all of the emotions and the feelings, as I said, that the person will start to feel the benefits. But the person who doesn't have maraqba ismay that, then that person's salah is the same. He cannot stop him from immodesty, from wrong actions. And that person will bop up and down, go back. And then all our amal, he will go back to Allah, and all our deeds will be in a ditch. And Allah will say, this is for Jahannam, be gone with you. My brothers, we need to work hard whilst we're living in this world. And there are very easy methods of working hard. The first action is what? Is that if you should seek out for a Naqshbandi teacher, this wealth you get from the Naqshbandi teacher. Naqshbandi. Chishti will give, Qadri will give, but the end point they give, after 7 years, 70 years, doing tasbihs, and your body is ground to halt, they make you do chillas, okay, now read Ismizad. Our Naqshbandi sheikhs, mashallah, they mashallah are proud, they are sakhi and generous, and as soon as the student comes, he says, do dhikr of Allah Ismizad, that silent. What a difference. SubhanAllah. So, if a Darvesh Naqshbandi, real student, he would grab hold of the legs of that shaykh, grab double his feet, that I will not let you go, I will not let you depart for the sake of Allah, please teach me the dhikr of Allah, SubhanAllah. So now you tell me, what a great deed, and what makes us reject this munafiqeen, the hypocrites, to leave the path, to come off the tracks, to accept shaitan and nafs as what we worship. If we do all of this, then how will we account for our deeds on the day of judgment? How will we account for our deeds? And in comparison to this, we see that maraqba dhikr, silent dhikr, is all done for the purpose of making things better. SubhanAllah. But I could speak for long. I don't know if you remember, understand what I'm saying. So what we realize, the summary of the huftugu, the discussion, is that the more a person does dhikr ismay that, with this niyam, what are we doing? That what do I want to attain? What do we need to attain from maraqabat? What's the thing that we're trying to achieve? Salah, when we do maraqabat dhikr. And mashallah, then we get immersed in salah. And you can write this down as a record, that you won't do maraqabat 3 or 4 minutes, you're sat with the shaykh, that's temporary. That you have to work hard yourself and do more for hours and do dhikr ismay that. You bow your neck, Allah, 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 Allah. All the feelings will come, khawf and fear, the past will come. You'll see the right path, the wrong path, the middle path, and the salah will give you this identification, mujahida, nafs, mujahida, qalb, working hard, making effort. And a person will do dhikr, sat one sitting, 3 hours, 4 hours, all night long, there used to be maraqba, subhanAllah. And the, for example, two and a half hours was our morning dhikr with Hazrat Sahib after Fajr. We didn't know, realize when was Ishraq. Hazrat would read for that long. Then we'd stop maraqba. Then in the night again, maraqba. Hazrat Sahib would stay in maraqba all his life long and do nothing else. So imagine his salah for ourselves. We need to imagine what his salah was. Salah was such that after 2 a.m. he would come back, and then 12 o'clock, just for a little bit of time, he'd go outside. Otherwise, he'd stay in maraqib, remembering Allah, and he'd stay happy. So, why are we under a false deception? Are we not going to die, my friends? Of course we are. Yes? Others have gone before us, and we will go as well. So where are we going? Where are we heading to? Our wife, children outside, our home, shops, businesses, will we take this with us? Now Allah has given to us as well. Allah has given you somebody broken down, a broken down car, somebody who's explaining to you, mentioning to you, yes, and not a peer, and then learn this with that from him, because Allah is the one who gives. Allah is the one who gives. So make effort, brothers. Make effort to improve. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you all the tawfiq. Ameen. So that we can become true solid observers of salah. Ameen.